Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky.
COVID-19 became a pandemic on March 13th. Donald Trump declared it a national emergency. Shelter-in-place orders by the governors followed. The markets went into a free fall. Interest rates were reduced by the Federal Reserve to historic lows. The markets kept falling, and the economy started collapsing. And on March 27th, CARES Act was instituted that created a historic infusion, not really to stimulate the economy, although they claimed it was to stimulate. It was more to stabilize the economy. To understand the context of that amount of money, $2.2 trillion, that's about 10% of the national debt, about 15% of GDP in a regular year, and represents a 50% infusion of new currency into the marketplace. The Paycheck Protection Program was instituted by the CARES Act, initially at $349 billion and then subsequently extended. It was a loan program intended to provide American small businesses with 8 weeks of cash flow assistance, essentially saying, stay open, your payroll for the next 8 weeks are on us. If you spent it correctly, 75% on payroll-related stuff and 25% on other items, at least 75%, you could do more than 75%, and 25% on approved items like rent, utilities, those types of things, it would be subject to forgiveness. The forgiveness would not constitute income, and subsequent determinations by the SBA have indicated that you can't, or the IRS have indicated that you can't take the corresponding deduction for the funds that you were using from PPP to maintain payroll. Entities with employees were first allowed to make application for PPP on April 3rd. April 10th, it got opened up to independent contractors and self-employed, where applications were allowed to follow. Then we had interim rules published at the same time, then a new set of interim rules on April 13th, an interim final rule 3 on April 15th. The funds became exhausted on April 16th. The SBA on April 23rd updated its frequently asked questions and added a controversial FAQ 31, which kind of set the tone for should you take it or shouldn't you. PPP Part 2 was funded, and a new set of interim final rules were published on April 24th. The SBA then issued guidance on part-time employees and how to count part-time employees. It's a full-time equivalent rather than by headcount. Then we had a new set of interim final rules, number 5 for seasonal employees. That was on April 27th. April 28th was a new set of interim final rules dealing with lenders to make a one-time disbursement within 10 days. And then we had the safe harbor provisions for May 7th created. Yesterday, we had the SBA extend that period to May 14th. So this is very fluid. Lots of things are changing throughout. And the question now becomes, should you or should you not repay those federal funds from the PPP? So some background on SBA FAQ 31. The media and legislators had some scrutiny about a number of public companies and private equity groups that were applying for and receiving PPP funds, like Lakers and Shake Shack and Potbelly, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Those folks all returned the funds, by the way. Senator Rubio and the Treasury Secretary expressed concerns about the necessity of certification associated with the actual need for the PPP funds. Senator Rubio, who chairs the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, indicated that they were going to aggressively apply oversight to this program and even use subpoenas to ensure that it was being applied appropriately. The Treasury Secretary said what happened with the Los Angeles Lakers receiving PPP funds was simply outrageous, and then went on to warn of severe consequences for those who don't attest properly to the certifications that are required by the law. The Treasury Secretary indicated that he wanted to make sure this money is available to small businesses that need it, people who've invested their entire life savings. SBA FAQ 31 says before submitting a PPP application, all borrowers should review carefully the required certification that current economic uncertainty, makes this loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of the applicant. That's words right out of the law. Borrowers must make this certification in good faith, taking into account their current business activity and their ability to assess other sources of liquidity sufficient to support their ongoing operations in a manner that is not significantly detrimental to the business. That's from SBA Fact 31. They went on to specifically address how public companies would likely not be eligible. And the SBA said as follows, quote, "It is unlikely that a public company with substantial market value and access to capital markets will be able to make the certification, the required certification in good faith, and such a company should be prepared to demonstrate to the SBA upon a request the basis for its certification." So I think any of those three, substantial market value, access to capital markets, and public status, if you're a publicly traded company, if you have those three pieces, you should really be looking to the fact that the SBA may apply some additional scrutiny. That's probably the most prudent interpretation. It does raise some questions, though. Should debt financing be considered significantly detrimental to a business as compared to equity capital, since there's a burden to the borrower in a debt financing component? If the borrower has undrawn but committed capital under its financing arrangements, like a line of credit, does this make it difficult for them to have a good faith certification that it's required by economic uncertainty to make the request for PPP? And then we're going to look, what does current economic uncertainty mean? What time do we measure that from? I would suggest that the time that you measure it from is from the time that you're making application for the PPP and not subsequent to that, maybe a week subsequent to that, maybe 3 weeks prior to that. Gather evidence of what's happening in your industry, the likely plight, gather evidence of declining revenues, save it in a folder, you know, maybe on an electronic version, save all of these articles predicting doom and gloom so that you can demonstrate the current economic uncertainty within your industry and business sector or trade association. They used the term necessary, but they didn't use the term exclusive. So if they wanted to say if you have access to capital in other ways, they could have said that PPP was the exclusive source for maintaining ongoing operations, but they didn't. They said necessary. So there's some subjectivity in that. We can find some wiggle room. I don't think it means that just because you personally have money that you have to give it to your business. I think it'll be measured by the recipient of the PPP. So if the PPP recipient is your corporation and it does not have a line of credit or something separate from a personal guarantee associated with your wealth, I think you can probably demonstrate that for that entity, there's some current economic uncertainty, even though you may have $1 million in the bank looking for a good investment. When we're looking at ongoing operations, I think that includes budgeted plans, maybe even plans for new growth versus revised budget. So if you are in that practice of saying, I'm going to take my budget for the year and I'm also going to revise it for 20% less revenue and how do I operate, and also revise it for 35% less revenue and how do I operate, I would keep those evidentiary pieces in that folder that I talked about so that you can later show, hey, this is how I made my determination. I don't think it means that you can't have profits during that period of time, even if you had more profits. If you can demonstrate that that wasn't what was being predicted, then I think you can still make out a proof set for the ongoing operations being in jeopardy. So I mentioned there was a safe harbor. If you can return the money, now it's May 14th. Everything will be determined to have been done in good faith, and they won't look at anything anymore. They are going to look at any business operation that receives more than $2 million in PPP funds. So if you fall into the category where you do have significant capital within the business and you don't have a concern about the necessity of those funds because you have that additional capital and it's not necessary for the ongoing operations of the business, you may want to consider just giving the money back. One of the things that has held true with respect to other government programs, if we were to look at, for instance, TARP or Katrina relief or programs like that, we can see that relying upon the advice of counsel, especially legal counsel where you get attorney-client privilege during the process, can assist you in being able to make out a case for acting in good faith. So as self-serving as this may sound, do yourself a favor and hire counsel to help you with this analysis. A couple of $1,000s or maybe even less, you can actually get a determination that's going to prevent any sort of enforcement action from proceeding against you or lessen the likelihood that such a proceeding would result in adverse consequences. The penalty associated with a determination adverse to whether you should have received the PPP is imprisonment for up to 30 years and $1 million fine. During the year of 2020, I would refrain from significant cash bonuses to highly compensated employees or owners of the company. I would refrain from bragging out on emails or on blogs or anything like that, that this is free money and you ought to jump on it and it's the best thing since sliced bread. Even if you do think it is, it is probably not the best publicity to be putting out there. I would actually consider a pay cut, even if it's just for the optics of the situation, just to show that, hey, the owners, the key employees here, we actually even took a pay cut during this period of time. Avoid self-dealing transactions like compensation to other entities that you own or huge perks or buying vehicles for everybody when you haven't done that in the past. Avoid extravagant type spending. During this process, they will be looking for, really, they'll be looking for actual fraud. There are different stages that they'll be asking about that. During the application process, you're asked a bunch of questions. They're going to be looking for fraud in the responses to that. They're then going to look to the fraud on the certification requirements that we talked about. Then they're going to look at fraud as it relates to the spending of the funds. And then if they have an audit or questions that follow up, they're going to be looking at that fourth stage as to whether or not you responded fraudulently at that stage. Involve counsel during this just to prevent accidentally providing information that may be unwelcome later. If you do it right, you can keep the money and you'll have the forgiveness available if you spend it right, and the infusion will be a welcome source of revenue during a downtime.
Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, V like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S, like United States, L-A-W.com.